Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera.
And this is Rob Rucha.
And you're listening to the Robcast Podcast.
All right, so welcome to the Robcast Podcast, episode number 3. This episode is being hijacked by 361, that non-point guy, Sean Reinert.
Hey.
Did I say it right, Reinert?
That is correct, okay. Yes. A lot of people say it wrong.
Like Reinhardt?
I get that all the time.
I get a lot of messed up with my last name too. So
truthfully, between you and me, I didn't know how to pronounce your last name until I heard you say it on this podcast.
Oh, everyone says Rucha, but it's Rucha. And that's fine either way. As long as they don't say Ruxa like Siri does.
What? That's,
yeah, Siri says Rob Ruxa.
Wow.
I don't know how it gets X's. But I had to train Facebook to say Rucha, so it says Roosha, or no, Cha, so it says Rucha.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so Reinert. Yep. And Sean is the guy that kind of runs a page, group, community, more than that. I mean, mm-hmm. I couldn't say enough about it just from my own experiences with the people in the 361 group. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Some people refer to it as family, which is actually really cool. Well, the page began October 14th, 2014. I actually remember that. It's written in there somewhere. I was looking on the Facebook, you know, fan communities for the band that I like, which is my favorite band, which has been my favorite band for a really long time, which not point. I think everybody knows that at this point. But everything I found either was anything but not point, just had the name, or was just, you know, way off topic or dumb. Or so I figured, and I had the idea, why don't I do it? You know, why don't I start my own? Because I would see when the guys would be out touring, every single show, they would take a picture of the crowd. And there was always these huge crowds and all these people. But here, we live in Chicago. We don't really have hard rock radio anymore. So our shows around here, the crowds are always smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like here they would play Austin's Fuel Room, or it's called The Forge now. But, you know, it used to be called
Mojo's.
The Tree. It was called Mojo's. And I would see all these pictures and I was like, there are people who like the same band I like. I want to meet some of them. I want to get to know these people because, you know, the old expression is you're never strangers if you like the same band.
Sure.
So I asked a couple friends of mine, Dustin, Nathan, hey guys, I'm going to start this up. I'm going to run it with me, just kind of moderate things and let's see what happens. My initial thought was, maybe we'll meet 50 people, maybe we'll meet 100 people. It's blown up.
What is it now? Just over 16,000?
Oh, just over 16,000. It hit 16,000 December of 2019.
Wow.
Which is a lot more than I ever thought. Like, I remember the first day we started it and I was talking to Rob and, you know, I was like, I'm starting this. Cool. Let's see what happens. And then, you know, the first 10, awesome. The first 50. Hey, cool. And he says, let's get it to 1,000. You're crazy. It gets there. Let's get it to 5,000. Okay. It got there. Let's get it to 10,000. Whoa. And then on and on and on.
Well, I mean, once it starts, you know, it almost spirals. You know,
people tell their friends, hey, this is really cool. There's no drama. There's no, you know, people are really nice to each other. People take care of each other. And hey, I got an extra ticket. You want it? Yeah. Hey,
that's the one thing I noticed right away, even from when I got in just into the group, as I started to produce and mm-hmm. make the Poison Red with the guys.
Yeah.
It became a very welcoming community. People saying hello, people, you know, just paying it forward to each other. In that realm of, you know, you can't afford something that I can afford two of, I'm giving you one, you know, or, you know, here's a CD because I bought four to help the band and I don't need four, but I know there's three people out there that can't afford it till next week, but they really want it this week. Mm-hmm. And when next week, when they can afford it, they're going to do that to someone else who can't, or who can't afford it till the week after or whatever. And it spirals in and snowballs, you know, in a way that becomes like an avalanche of coolness. Like right away, I saw that. And still on the page, anytime that, you know, we as the podcast have put something up there, it seems that, you know, a good 60% or more of our listeners are, you know, are from the 361, you know, it's like, and hosting a couple of the events here at Uptown that we have where 361 people have been the majority, if not the only attendees. And that's because they're the ones that will go right on the day it's out, go, I need this right now, and buy it until it's sold out.
Yeah. The first event we did here, the Unplugged Show.
Yeah.
That was exclusive to the group.
Right.
I put it in the group and I said, this is for you guys only. So you have to make your way here. I mean, people came from all over the country here for that.
And then the rehearsal one as well.
Same thing,
It was all 361, even though it was out for everyone.
It was it was really cool.
But yeah, they dominate it. And I've seen a lot of them at shows that I wouldn't have expected to see them at.
Yeah.
You know, like people like the Gonzalez's and Robert McClary and like coming to shows from, you know, 1,000 miles away. You know, just to be part of not only the show, but the group.
Yeah.
And to see the people that they've become friends with through the group in different locations.
There's a guy, his name is Thomas Walton. I learned later he lives in Pennsylvania, but I'd seen him in Florida. I'd seen him in Wisconsin. I've seen him in Michigan. I'm like, dude, where do you actually live? Because I've seen him everywhere. Mm-hmm. So McClary is the same way because he just shows up everywhere.
I never knew where he lived for the first few times I saw him, because the first time I think was in Florida.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was in Madison at the Taste of Madison. I'm like, what? Where are you from?
I've hung out with him in Ohio. I've hung out with him in Michigan.
He'll go where he knows it's going to be a good one.
That dude's awesome. I love that dude.
And he's very supportive of the band.
Yes.
You know, and helps out any way he can. Mm-hmm. And that's something I saw right away in that group as well. And it's weird to see, you know, like, From the era that I came from, it was like your street team, you know, like, and you didn't really have a social media thing that you could have created, but I could imagine that it would have been, you know, like the From Zero we had what we called the Zero Nation. It was, you know, the street team of kids that would help us hand stuff out.
I was in that.
Yeah. And you got your, you know, you got stuff for it, you know, whether it was the CD sampler or a sticker or whatever. Yep. Now it's so much more of a day-to-day, you know, interaction where,
there's,
you know,
always something new.
You make a post about something, for example, the merch that was out for Christmas, and bam, people are on it, like, you know, right away.
Yeah.
And spreading the word and sharing the page. And then as things get posted, you know, you are, I'm sure, sometimes overwhelmed by some of the drama that could come out. Or, you know, I mean, without getting into it, just because, you know, social media drama is going to be, you know, no matter what, you're going to get trolls, you're going to get people. I'm sure you've had to kick people out of the group just as much as you want to bring them in.
It has happened, but surprisingly not as much as, you know, another page. A page that large, you'd think would have a lot more.
Right, but people don't get into it unless they have that same mindset, it seems. Because I haven't met a single person that's toxic.
Right.
You know, it seems like a very non-toxic environment, which is great for, you know, especially for a community of musician lovers.
Yeah.
You know, not just music lovers, but they love the musicians that provide them the music to the point where there's even like, not to use the term, you know, funded, but just the ability of fans to pay forward to the band. Realizing that the band has to be able to pay, you know, to do things, and are willing to start, like, one girl started a bus fund or something. Mm-hmm. It was just
Ashley
to try
Roberts.
And try and get the bus for a band, even though that's really not a very viable situation. Like, I mean, nobody realizes that it's not just buying the bus. It's also maintaining that bus, as you've seen in the last couple of years with band bus issues. You know, like, so many.
The one
that I was on at one point, not even a week or two after the band was off of it, caught fire and burned to the ground.
Oh, no.
And I had slept on it not even 2 weeks before that, on a ride from Florida to Detroit.
Was that the... Oh, I know what you're talking
about. It was the bus that they had during the their 20th yeah. anniversary show.
Okay.
And that thing had some leaky condensation right onto the head unit of the stereo in the back lounge. And
yeah.
it was
I slept
bad.
On that bus too, actually. Yeah. yeah.
That bus is no more.
I know.
So there's so much you have to worry about when having a bus. But still, the fans are willing to try and start and make it so that the band can to yeah. have one just so they can continue to tour.
To back up for just a second, the happy ending to that bus fire, everyone that was on that bus at the time of the fire
got off.
Safely yes. got off that bus and nobody was hurt.
No, just the bus.
Right, just the yeah. bus itself. But my understanding is that bus was pretty old at the time, uh-huh. so it was probably
it just, had problems.
It was probably just it's time to go. Mm-hmm. But it's sad. You know, it sucks when something like that happens, but it's good that nobody was hurt.
Yeah, no, so. They all got off in time and everything. The only yeah. thing was some items they had probably melted, but
you can replace things.
Items. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, you know, with people in that group in the 361 willing to go that far, you know, above and beyond your average fan. It really reinstalls the faith that I have in the music scene, that people are still willing to spend money on, you know, maybe mm-hmm. not as much the physical product of music as much as it is the experience of the music
yeah.
and sharing that with others like-minded.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like the people in the group. And people that aren't in the group are getting, you know, brought into the group by being met at these events and not knowing yeah. that there is this group and then finding out there's that group yeah. and joining it.
It's fun to be at a show and to see people talking to each other about the group. And then you'll see someone else go, they'll kind of turn around and be like, what are you guys talking about? Oh, you don't know? And then they'll tell them about it. And then like 2 minutes later, my phone will go off and it'll be like, this person's requesting to join the group because I see all of those.
And if they have their location services on, you're in the same place.
Yeah.
And it's a non-point show.
Yep. Yeah. And you're like, oh, they're right here. They're being told about it right now.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, it's one of those scenes where you said, I mean, you're not a stranger. Right away, you realize you have something in common.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, social media being such an outlet for every possibility, you know, not just the music scene, it's a community of people who like,
oh, absolutely.
Do more than just music. You know, they're there for each other in different ways. If there's, you know, mental issues that need help, or there's people who have, you know, skill sets that are available, like to help someone or give someone even a ride somewhere or do something for someone outside of the music. And I've seen that kind of camaraderie too.
We, at my house about a week and a half ago, our hot water heater died. Thankfully it was repaired, but I know somebody from the group who's in HVAC, and I was texting with him, hey, I have a guy coming, what should I look for to mm-hmm. make sure I don't get ripped off? And he told me straight, this is what you need, and he helped me out a lot. So yeah. Kevin, thank you.
Well, and that's something that happened with when I was out on vacation with my family in Florida. I put a post up on the 361 saying, hey, you know, Florida peeps, what's there to do? All of a sudden, I'm on a boat with Burl.
Yeah.
You know, okay. My stepson and I are on a boat fishing with Burl. I mean, it was amazing. Like just yeah. right away, like, I mean, and that was an experience for both of us because mm-hmm. I had never been out on the, you know, golf and yeah. we were in Destin and it was, you know, something to do. And my stepson's huge into fishing, so he thought it was the best.
Oh.
And, you know,
and you get cool stepdad points.
Burl's
for
huge
that.
Into the band, yeah. but also into the community. Like, you know, he's part of the 361 too.
He is. Really
so
nice
it's
guy.
Really like something that extends itself to your families and to, like you said, it's more of a family, but it's an extended family
absolutely.
Like I've never seen.
Yeah.
And that's something that I give you, you know, much props for managing, man.
It's just, you know, it's not me, it's all them.
Yeah. Well, and on a different note, mm-hmm. I mean, you and I go farther back
yeah.
than that.
I've known
even.
You for a really
yeah.
long time.
And so you were a From Zero aficionado back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed the Metro show scene.
I remember the first time I saw From Zero, we went to, my friends and I went to the, it was the Disturbed CD release party
mm-hmm.
for The Sickness.
Yeah.
So the very first Disturbed record, it was at the Metro. It was not.
That's where they dropped the plates on everybody.
It was not sold out. We bought our tickets in cash for $8 at the door.
Wow.
And I mean, Disturbed, look what they've become.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
amazing
yeah, yeah.
to see them coming from that.
Well, and that's weird because we played a show with them at this place in Lamont called Sidetracks. And it was like when Disturbed was just still putting out cassette samplers and we were putting out our samplers.
I just found one of those, actually.
Everybody was just their own street team, their own handouts, their own local, you know, buzz.
You would go to shows, and I remember seeing Rashid at shows handing out Crash Poets stuff.
And I worked on that stuff.
I bet.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first band I actually recorded outside of From Zero.
Yeah.
And after they heard that green CD that everybody calls the green CD, they were talking about it at Disturbed's listening party at Johnny K's.
See?
They happened to be there.
But my friends and I went to see Lungbrush, and because I'd never seen them, and I liked them, but then who's this band playing first?
Who's
this bass player who's wearing sunglasses inside? I remember that from that day.
From me.
And I'm just like, who is this guy?
I didn't know my own identity.
But then I, you know, the singer's like, what's up, hometown? And that stayed in my head. I'm like, oh, those guys are from here. And then I watched the show and I'm like, damn, I really like that band. And then the guys are outside giving out that yellow CD with the four songs on it. And I was like, wow, I like this. So I went to see From Zero as many times as I could after that.
That's crazy. I mean, it's such a small world to come back around and like, just the same thing, like with that era of music in Chicago, there were so many bands that like crossed over in fans. You know, it's like if you like this band, you're going to probably like the other bands that are on the bill because they all are friends of each other's and they all like-mindedly put the bill together.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the things that we got to do with Rashid's band when we got Crash Poet on the first Metro show they played. And they brought like 400 people. So after that, they didn't need us anymore. Metro was like, you want another show?
Yep.
You know, you'll have another show. You can bring 400 people. And that was unheard of for local bands, but not unheard of in the Chicago scene at that time.
No, not at all.
Because everybody was on point right after Disturbed. It was, what's next? And you know just as well as I do. I mean, there were like four other bands in a row that got record deals, like significantly right after that. Soil. And Relative Ash,
5.0,
No One. I mean, it was right one after the other, and From Zero right in that lineup
too.
I mean, it was like six bands
all
trying to see what would stick against the wall, you know, and some did and some didn't. Like Soil is still around.
They are.
Relative Ash went away, and 5.0 went away, and From Zero went away, and it all just kind of went away. Disturbed stuck around for the long haul. And now are like destined to probably get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at some point, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just from their, you know, just all the different albums they've put out and the success they've had. And I didn't even think about the overseas success that they've had because they're huge.
Yeah.
So that's something that, I mean, you could never have predicted coming out of Chicago. But at the same time, during that time in the late 90s, that was what was Chicago.
Yeah.
It was like the Seattle scene in the early 90s, popping out Soundgarden and Nirvana and, you know, everything under the sun in that world.
And to stick with the local scene, I grew up in Aurora and we had a place called Riley's Rock House.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've played there.
Yeah.
More than a couple times, but Sundays were always all ages. So we would always go and just see as many bands as we could.
Oh, of course.
We were there every week.
That was what the Metro was for the North Side, you know, and, you know, playing House of Blues for us was a big deal. And, you know, now that's something that, you know, these tours are coming through playing House of Blues. And it's like, to us, it was the local place in town that you wanted to get to.
You wanted to play there.
Yeah. Now it's like completely corporate and establishment kind of thing where it's tours going through and it's awesome to see shows there because they treat the artists still with the same respect.
Well,
very appropriate. And even when I was down in Florida at the House of Blues there, great place, great people, taking care of the artists as well as taking care of the fans. So that's something I've, you know, and again, 361 shows up there, you know, and does VIP experiences and pretty much predominantly dominated by the 361 in that area. You know, like wherever you are, if there's, you know, a group of five or more, you guarantee they're going to be at that experience. You know, like
one of the when the 361 thing really, really started to take off and I started to really interact with more people and get to know more people was in Florida. There's a guy, his name is Anthony Breeden. This was in 2015 in the summertime. In a couple years before, Nonpoint ran the fundraiser, the Indiegogo thing. And one of the things you could buy was a pre-show acoustic kind of show, like it was private for you and 15 or 20 other people. Anthony had bought it, but he hadn't used it yet. So when we'd met through the group, he invited me to come to Florida. Come down, stay at my house. Let's go to this together. And I was like, really? I'm like, you don't even know me. He's like, you seem cool. You probably won't kill me. Thanks. So I just, you know, I asked the wife, can I do this? You're nuts. I know, but we worked it out. I bought a plane ticket. I went to Orlando. He picked me up at the airport and we went to a couple of shows together and I got to do that. So it was just, you know, I'd never met any of these people before, but they were so cool. And just, I was walking around the House of Blues in Orlando, right there at Disney. And people were seeing me because they knew me from the group. And people were coming up to me like, you don't live here. What are you doing here? Well, I'm, you know, now I just show up.
It's that non-point guy, Sean. Yeah.
And just, it was cool to kind of walk around and be recognized by everybody. But it was really, really nice of him to, you know, invite me into his home and just let me stay with him for a couple of days. And I got to do that.
And that seems to be something that's happened, not just between the moderator slash creator of the page, but just other members of them, you know, of the group with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a safe haven in a way. You know that these people aren't creeps. You know, even the internet can be filled with creeps. But when you look at that environment of people, nobody out there that I can tell, you know, from my interactions with the people, would ever be that kind. You know, it's like they're just awesome people that are looking to help each other and making sure that people who want to have an experience in a different place aren't going to be fish out of water.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then from there, you know, I got to know through the group, I got to know the band a little bit better. Bless you.
Pardon me.
Rob just sneezed.
Yes. Couldn't hold it.
It's, you know, it happened. But like I said, through the group, I got to know the band a little better. And then Rob and I started to hang out because he lives around here too. I remember once in 2010, I went to see Rush down at the outdoor place over by Soldier Field.
Northerly Island?
Yeah. No. I don't know what it's...
It's different name
the
now.
The name changed again.
I don't even want to know.
I remember I saw him walking around. I'm like, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm moving here. Oh, cool. So, but because he's here, but... He and I always kind of knew each other because I would always go to the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And through the group page, it kind of raised my profile a little bit. They're like, oh, that guy, you know, he really likes the band. He's not, you know, I never ask for anything for free or.
You support the band.
I support the band a lot.
Right.
So then also in 2015, I saw there was a show coming up in at the Apollo in Belvedere that I knew was just one show. So I knew they would need help. They wouldn't have a crew or anything. So I hit him up like, hey, can I come and sell merch? Do you guys need help for the show? Just volunteering because I'm coming anyway. So can I help? Sure. You want to? Okay. Great. And so I kind of started working shows for them too. So because that's a big part of what I do now too.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you went out with them on the road to, you know, do merch and then I've seen that, you know, it's not just, and you've coordinated, been the VIP coordinator and, you know, kind of helping with every time there is one and coordinating that to a point where people know that you're the point man for that as far as the info and things that they need to know. So when they are questioning if something's legit, they know it is because it's coming from, you know, that non-point guy.
Yeah. They actually didn't have a VIP kind of anything until we started, you know, doing things together.
Mm-hmm.
But then he had the idea, he being Rob.
Rivera.
Yeah. I talk to him all the time. Like he and I text each other pretty much every day. I love that dude. Like he was my brother. I know you're not here, but yeah, if you listen to this, I don't know. But we had the idea. But, you know, can we set something up? Sure. The first one, I don't even think we had the store open. Like I did it just through email through the group page. And then later on, like I said, there wasn't a store. So I again, can I take some shirts and just sell them person to person through the group? And then from there, we set up nonpointstore.com.
Sure. Yeah.
Which I ran out of my house for. So
you were the guy. And
it's been cool to see that grow too.
Sure.
So But now with the VIP, like I'll get sent the information. We put it in the store, and then I just kind of check the store every day. And I maintain a spreadsheet of like who's coming to what show, and I keep everyone's emails.
And out of that, I mean, what would you say the percentages are 361ers?
It's like
90%.
It's like 95%. Yeah. It's a lot because we hype it so much. We hype everything so much on that page.
Yeah.
Now they after this last tour, they had all their tour merch going to Rowboat. That was the pinned announcement for so long. Come get your stuff right now. So
yeah, get it while it's gone.
And like I can going. I still have access to look through the store. I mean, there's not a VIP going on right now, but I can still go into it and I recognize all the names of all the orders because it's people from the group.
Yeah. And I saw the same thing when I was doing some of the green pill thing that, oh my God, that thing drove me crazy. I don't know how you did it, man. My wife will attest. She probably wanted to throw me out of the house when I had 140 or whatever they ordered the first round and I had to individually stamps.
Yeah.
I used individual stamps and stuck them on there.
When we did the beach towel at the beginning of 2019, they were delivered to my house.
Oh, God.
And I had to ship all the pre-orders. And I actually, my wife helped me. And I think it was like 200 or something we packed up. And I hand wrote all the names on every single one of those packages. And So for a long time, if you got something from the Nonpoint store, that's my handwriting.
Well, yeah, you actually did handwrite on those envelopes. And then you handed those envelopes off to me.
Yep.
And then I had to put the things in them and stamp them and seal them and mail them. And oh, my God.
Yeah. People compliment. They say I have nice handwriting, so they want me to handwrite things. So thank you if you ever complimented me on that. I would have.
Now I have like so much more appreciation for all the things that you had to do with all the things that you've done.
Yeah.
So
it got to be a lot, and it's to the point now where the company that does the shirt printing and all that, they do the shipping too.
Yeah, they fulfill it.
Is amazing that it's grown that much.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the guys who run that company, local band guys too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Lucas and Joe.
Yep.
Colonel Stem and Lift Point.
There you go.
Yeah.
See? And they're friends of Rashid, probably.
Oh, yeah, and me
that's
too.
That's how they all know each other.
Yeah,
see?
I knew Joe from way back. Colonel Stem and From Zero played shows. And
so amazing
Lift
how
Point
it's all...
and Crash Poet and In Cinema played shows. And, I mean, all of that is very, very intertwined.
Yeah.
It's amazing
it's
how
so
that,
cool.
the community has grown.
Yeah.
Like people that you just jammed with on stage in different venues are now the people that are integrated into your brand and helping you make things and get
everybody
those things
still,
out there.
They still champion each other and they still cheer each other on. And
that's part of the Chicago thing that I think, and we've touched on it on this podcast in the past, where the scene here is something that was so intertwined and like everybody knows everybody from different artists at different eras. You know, it's like, how do you know Rashid? Oh, from this, and this. And, you know, it's, oh, well, how do you know, even Jason, like, you know, like he came from that same world. Like, it's like, oh, well, he was in this band. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then they were here on some Q101 contest giveaway thing, recording with a band he was in. And, you know, it was like weird, like how it's all full circling, you know, back into, you know, this environment. And here at the studio, you know, this seems to be a centralized location of it. And From Zero was a client here, you know, it's like, that's how I found out about this place is we needed a place to record. And our manager knew the owner of Uptown Recording. They didn't have any engineers yet. They just opened the doors. I walked in here and never walked out.
What year was that?
2002.
Wow. Okay.
Right after the whole One Nation Under was over and before my So-Called Life album. And we started pre-production for My So-Called Life here. And we wrote that song, actually, My So-Called Life. And another song, what was it called? I can't even remember now. Because they changed titles when they put the album out. But we did pre-pro for a couple of different tunes here. And then I fell in love with this place.
Ah.
I was like, so when you know we decided to part ways, I had a back. I was already here.
I was going to say, I remember buying that album the day it came out, going, Where's the bass player?
Well, Jet played bass on that album.
Right,
but
right.
At the same time, that was something that I knew wasn't going to do what it should have done because the label was done.
Right.
The label was just fulfilling their contract.
Mm-hmm.
They had signed us for what they call a two firm, which was definite two album release,
right, right.
And they're guaranteed release dates. So we knew we wouldn't get shelved because that was popular back in the day for bands to be signed to other labels to prevent competition with other artists.
And
they also signed a demo, which was a big deal at the time. And we worried about being shelved. So we made sure that was in our contract. And so they did make good on that. And they made us, you know, made From Zero another record. I got my advance money and left. You know, it was like, okay, enough of that. You know, so, and I fell in Uptown Recording, which led me to Rashid and led me to eventually working with Nonpoint and meeting you again.
Yep.
And finding out that you had a From Zero skateboard autographed by us.
I entered to win that thing so many times on the Q101 website and I never won it. And then I found one on eBay and it was $10.
Oh,
and I'm like, I have to buy this. And I bought it and I still have it.
I remember signing all of those too in an office at Arista. In New York, we sat in a freaking conference room with Sharpies and signed all of
silver.
Those things.
Yeah.
Gold, silver, like different colors.
Yep.
And then we did the same thing with CDs and we did the same thing with posters. And like, I never knew what happened to all those things.
I still have my old, it was a plain white background poster.
Mm-hmm.
I have that signed. I have that rolled up. I have that somewhere in
my
house.
I had hair in that one. Oh, I had hair in all the posters.
I believe so,
Yeah, because I didn't shave my head until our CD came out.
And I still have a soccer jersey that I caught at one of the shows, the black ones.
We had black and green.
Yep.
I have both in my closet, which is hilarious because they don't even fit me.
No.
But
mine never did.
No.
I haven't been an XL in quite a while, but I'm working on it. But I still have it. It's on a hanger, and it looks like it's brand new.
And that was drawn, actually, by Picasso, who was Rashid's singer in Crash Poet.
That comic book art?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he did all the comic for us. Picasso Dular. He's
right.
A badass tattoo artist, too. He was on Ink Masters, that tattoo show with Dave Navarro hosting.
Hey.
It was interesting seeing him on that because I know him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, he's the guy, like, almost all of Joe at Rowboat's tattoos were done by Picasso.
Oh, wow. I
like,
did not know.
Pretty much any time Picasso's in town, he'll ink on Joe because they're good old friends.
Oh, yeah.
And Rashid knows about it, too. It's hilarious.
See? That's amazing.
So it's a very small community, sir.
That's great.
Well, Mr. Sean.
I mean, yeah.
How long has it been? 32 minutes.
Too long. Oh.
Is that good? Unless you have more to say.
I could talk all day.
I know you could. But we try to keep them nice and
tight. Yeah, I know.
And tight. You know the format.
Can I throw out a couple of my favorite 361 stories, though?
Of course you can.
All right. These are things that I was thinking about when we agreed to do this that kind of always stuck with me about the group and the positivity of the group and how the group kind of affects people, right? There's a person, I believe she lives in, I want to say Mississippi, and I apologize if I got that wrong, but her name is Marissa. She was undergoing cancer treatments a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she posted in the group looking for just positive vibes and positive thoughts and things like that. And there was an outpouring of just, got you. Do you need anything? Love for this person.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know her and I read that and I started crying. But it was, you know, can I help you? Can I do anything for you? People just started like sending her things and just offering to help her. And she's gotten very good prognosis since. I believe she's in remission now. I'm not saying that this is what helped her.
No, but positive vibes can
physically,
do that.
But at least mentally, like, she put herself out there and everybody was just like, this, we, you know, everybody just rallied around her. Like, you got this. You can do this. I love that. That's amazing.
Well, yeah, you're going to definitely see that. I know the people out there that would be that way too.
Yeah.
You know, it's really good to see it's not only people going to see bands, but people holding each other up, you know, people holding anything they need, you know, is at their, and you don't know how many people are out there that can be of use, you know, like anytime it's necessary.
Yeah, I got to meet her later and she gave me a really big hug. Just, you know, it was so cool to meet her and to see that she was doing well. So.
Well, I mean, you're the moderator of something that is that centralized location for that kind of love.
People have it tattooed on themselves.
I know.
There's five offhand I can think of.
It's more than just a post of the McDonald's receipt which right. I see so many times. Look, my McDonald's bill is $3.61 because you get the same thing every day.
On my drive up here, I passed a gas station, and that was one of the prices.
The gas was $3.61.
I took a picture of it. And
of course.
It's amazing, but that's also sad. But okay, the second story, there's a young lady. She lives in Australia. Her name is Kate, K-A-I-T. She had a story about an ex-boyfriend who was like cyberbullying and really being mean to her and making her life really, really bad to the point where she was thinking of like checking out.
Right.
Like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Through friendships from the group, she's okay. She's, you know, doing better.
Sure.
So, and again, Australia, she doesn't know any of these people. None of these people know. We're not even in the same hemisphere.
It's a global support system.
And people are helping and offering support. And I've talked to her. I mean, I haven't met her because I've never been to Australia. And to my knowledge, she's not been here. But that's cool. She's one of the ones with the tattoo. Like, she has it tattooed on herself. And that's really cool. Like, I read that and it's just, you know, again, I always go back to this little thing. I thought I'd meet 50 or 100 people. It's affecting people this much.
And that far away.
Yeah, and that
on the
far
other
away.
Side of the yeah. planet. Yeah.
Hemispheres. So,
yeah.
And then the third one that just this one blew me away. That was, I want to say it was either last year or the year before. There was hurricanes down south, Florida. Mm-hmm. People were heading inward, inland to get away, to get out of the hurricane. There was posts in the group. Are you okay? Is everyone safe? If anyone needs a place to stay to ride out the hurricane, come here. And it was just because of the group. It was like, we like the same band, so you can stay in my house if you need to.
Sure.
Like, you can be safe. You and your family can be safe. And that's just, that kind of outpouring from people is just, it's amazing. Like, it amazes me every single day. Like, what's been accomplished through that page. So
I've seen it and I've felt it, you know, yeah. from people yeah, as well. I, like, you know, anytime that I've seen the conversations go into not yeah. dark places, but you know, the world has a lot of darkness involved. And anytime you can get a community of that many people to look at it from a bright side,
yeah.
your darkness is nowhere near as bad as anybody thinks, yeah. you know, it can be supported and there's so much, you know, yeah. camaraderie there. And I can't thank you enough for doing it.
We really try
because
to keep it that
it's
way.
Something I would imagine would have been hugely beneficial had it existed when From Zero was getting started.
Man,
I couldn't
yeah.
even imagine what mm-hmm. our group could have become. Like, yeah. just like this group grew and is continuing to grow.
Yeah.
So that's next cool. stop, 20,000.
Oh, my God.
Can we predict that, maybe?
Let's do it. Spread that word.
2020 I mean, should be 20,000, right?
That'd be amazing.
Let's try that.
Guys,
I wonder how
share that page
that
with everybody you know. There's new people 4, being
4,000 people. That's all it's going to take.
There's new people being added every single day.
Yeah.
I approve them every single day.
Okay. So. Well, and I mean, you know, obviously the people who are getting approved are going to be of that same like-minded,
yeah.
you know, so no haters, no trolls.
A lot of it is people just going through their friends list going, you need to be in and you need to be in. And it'll be like 15 at once and they're all added by the same person. But that's great. Have everybody come. Everybody's welcome.
Well, I'm hoping that becomes more of what people are seeing when they,
yeah.
you know, share it with each other and
absolutely.
We'll see if it can grow to 20,000.
That would be
in 2020.
Oh God. Let's shoot for that.
Yeah.
Guys, for real, if you're hearing this,
4,000
that.
More, that's all.
Share
less
it.
Than 4,000.
I'm saying it's not that far away.
Okay.
It's doable.
We'll see. We're going to have to check back with you on another episode, maybe in season 4, which will be probably the summer season.
All right.
Or spring season.
Cool. Sounds
good. All right, good. Sir. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank
and
you.
We will talk at you soon.
All
right. Peace. Thanks so much for listening to the Robcast podcast. Be sure and subscribe to get notified on future episodes. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Robcast Podcast. And feel free to send us comments and suggestions at robcastpodcast@gmail.com.